I want to challenge your perspective in something today. I really believe that God has given me a word that will change your life. It's a very simple, practical message today, really one basic point. But if you grab a hold of this, I really believe it has the power to change your life. So we're talking about resetting our perspective. We're going to go to the Old Testament today, the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 28, one verse, verse number 67. It says, "In the morning you will say, 'If only it were night.' And in the evening you will say, 'If only it were morning.'" I'm calling this message today, "If Only." Have you ever heard people say, "Oh man, it's been such a long day. I sure wish this day was over." Or maybe you've heard people say, "I just thought this day would never end." Maybe some of you have said that this morning and it's not even 11 o'clock yet. I mean, there's some mornings by 9 in the morning I'm ready to throw in the towel and the day just started. I remember being a child in kindergarten, and I'm going to show my age here, but when we were in kindergarten, I remember we had something every day that was called nap time. Amen. Everybody's saying, "Yeah, preach this, brother, preach it." It was a quiet time where we were given a little colored carpet square, and we were told to put it on the floor somewhere and just go alone by ourselves and get alone by ourselves and just have some quiet time, hopefully take a nap. Many of us never did, but we were forced to sit there and be quiet. Well, I personally hated nap time. I wanted to play. I remember sitting there thinking, if only I were in first grade, I wouldn't have to take these dumb little naps anymore. I wish today I had those dumb little naps back, let me tell you. Well, first grade comes along, and rather than being thankful for no more nap time, I remember sitting back, and I remember watching the sixth graders out playing on the playground. Sixth grade was still elementary at this time. I would watch those kids, and I would realize and understand that those sixth graders could do things that I could not do. They could run faster. They could jump higher. The girls were prettier. I remember thinking, if only I were in sixth grade. If only I were in sixth grade, life would be so much better. Second grade came along. If only I were in sixth grade. Third grade came along. And again, if only I were in sixth grade. Fourth grade, fifth grade, and finally, sixth grade arrived. I had made it to the sixth grade. I had arrived to the pot of gold sitting at the end of the elementary rainbow. I was at the top of the shark tank. And for years, ever since first grade, I remember this very vividly. I thought it would be a day of great excitement. I thought it would be a day of great happiness. But instead, I remember sitting in that classroom on that first day of school, feeling an empty feeling inside of me. I had a couple buddies that had just gone off to junior high, and after the first day we were hanging out, and they said, "It was so great. We have so much more freedom than in elementary school." I remember sitting there thinking, if only I were in seventh grade. If only I would be, if I were in seventh grade, I would be happy just like these guys are. Sixth grade came to an end, and now I'm in junior high. This was it. But I remember there I was again, sitting in that classroom thinking, this isn't what I thought it would be. I thought seventh grade would bring me happiness. I thought it would bring me joy. I think you can see where I'm going with this. I call this the trap of if only. Deuteronomy 28:67 again. In the morning you will say, if only it were night. And in the evening you will say, if only it were morning. You see, the trap of if only tells us that our happiness will always be found in another stage of life than where we currently are. If only I were there, I would be happy. But then you get there and you realize that the level of happiness that you thought would be there, that you thought would be waiting for you there, is not there. The lie of if only is what causes the child in sixth grade to look across the street at the junior high and say, if only I were there. And when they get to seventh grade, they say, if only I were a ninth grader. But then once in ninth grade, it becomes, if only I were a senior. Once they become a senior, are they filled with joy? Of course not, because now there is college ahead, and nobody can be happy until they get that college degree. If only I were in college. So they go to college. I have arrived. I can be happy. But where's the happiness? They're still not happy. It's kind of like a group of greyhounds in a race chasing the fake rabbit. If only I could catch that little rascal, life would be good. You see, when we chase after if only, just like the greyhounds in the race, we are chasing after something that is fake, something that can never satisfy. If only it were morning, it would be happy. If only it were evening, I would be happy. If only. You see, the college student gets to college and realizes that they're still not happy. So then it becomes, if only I could just get married. I would be happy if I could just find someone to spend the rest of my life with. So the day of the wedding comes. It's a glorious day. Finally, I have arrived. Finally, I am going to be happy. Then the bills start piling in. So then the couple gets together and they begin to say, if only we could have a baby, we would be happy. Sorry. But people say that. Well, the day comes and you're holding this precious little thing in your arms that you think is the most precious child ever in the world. There's no one like this. Regardless of what other people say, and you say, little Johnny sure is the most beautiful thing I've ever seen. Happiness has arrived. But then you got to take that little child home. Little Johnny has to go home, and the diapers start. The sleepless nights start. And this couple soon finds out that they've not found the happiness that they've been longing for. So they begin to say, if only little Johnny were a little bit older, I could enjoy life if he was older. Only if he was old enough to play Little League ball, I'd sure love to see him play Little League ball. Those days come and more challenges arise. Life gets busy and they realize running all over the place isn't much fun. So they begin to say, if only little Johnny were in high school. Once in high school, the conversation turns to, if only little Johnny were in college. Then it turns to, if only little Johnny would get married. There are things that I would love to do, but I can't do them until little Johnny gets married. Now listen carefully. This couple will wake up one morning. Little Johnny's wedding music will be gone. It'll been played. The vows have been said. The rice has been thrown. And they will walk into little Johnny's room, and the posters that he had hanging on the wall will be gone. There will be no more mess on the floor. The bedroom that used to look like a war zone is now clean and tidy. They were always hounding little Johnny to clean up the room, but now that room doesn't need to be cleaned up anymore. The water that was on the floor after a shower is now dry. The home is now quiet because there's now no longer arguing over what television program to watch. Little Johnny's grown up and he's out of the house. Freedom is here for the couple. This is the day that they've been waiting for years. If only we were there. But then they realize something. Where is the happiness that I thought would meet me here? Where is the joy? And if we struggle with the if-only trap, the if-only lie, here is where life begins to get dangerous, because now this cycle begins to reverse, and we begin to switch it and say, if only I could have the good old days back. If only I could go back to the way things used to be. If only. If only little Johnny were young again. If only I could hear that little pitter-patter of those little feet as he comes to wake me up in the morning. Those were the days. I'm here to tell you that the words if only will cause you to chase something you will never catch, just like the greyhound with the rabbit. And when we get to the point in our life where we realize we have been chasing something false, we will sit around and wish the good old days to come back. I remember years ago there was an article published in the Reader's Digest that really brings this truth to life. It was about a commercial pilot that was flying across America. And every time he would get to a certain spot on the route, he would take a little jog off of course, and he would just look down at the ground and smile. Well, his co-pilot noticed this. And so one day he asks him, he goes, I noticed that every time we're on this route, you take a little jog off of course, and you just look down at the ground and smile. What's that about? And he said, when I was a young boy, I used to fish at that little creek down there. You see it? And the guy pokes his head and sees a little creek down there on the ground. He said, well, as a boy fishing, he goes, I always fish with a buddy. And he goes, I would look at my buddy every time a plane flew overhead, and I would say, I wish I could be up there flying that plane. But he said, now that I'm up here flying the plane, he said, I wish I was down there fishing at the creek. Why is it that we struggle with this concept so much? If only I could be there, I would be happy. If only I could have the good old days back, I would be happy. So it goes on and on and on. Why is it that the pasture that we used to graze and the pasture that we plan to graze tomorrow is always greener than the pasture we're grazing today? Why is that? I wonder what would happen in our lives if we could begin to see the green in the pasture that we're grazing today, right here and right now. What if we begin to understand that right now, today, we are living in the good old days? We will look back one day and say, those were the good old days. We're living them. What would it be like if we could begin to savor each day? You see, when I woke up this morning, I didn't wish it was tomorrow. I didn't wish it was yesterday. I'm thankful that it's this day, Sunday morning, because there's good and bad about every day. The good about this is I get to come hang out with people I love. The good about this is I get to talk to you for 30 minutes and you can't talk back. I love it. Especially my wife. She can't talk back for 30 minutes. I love Sundays. But I know that after Sunday, here comes Monday. Now, I'm not going to wake up on Monday morning and wish it was Sunday. I'm not going to wish it was Tuesday. I'm going to wake up tomorrow morning on Monday morning, and I'm going to be thankful that it's Monday, because it's a day that I'm never going to get back again. I'm not going to wake up and say, I sure do wish it was Friday. Friday's going to be a great day for sure. But on the flip side, I don't want to look back 6 months from now and say, I wish I had, if only I could have that Monday back. Those were the good old days. Here's what I have learned, and this is what I want you to understand today, that right here and right now, we are living, I am living in the good old days. These are days we will never get back. So don't lose today by wishing for tomorrow, and don't lose today by wishing for yesterday. Make today a masterpiece. Today is a gift from God. It's a masterpiece. This is why you're going to run across some people and they just seem to be happy all the time and you just want to smack them. It's because they've learned this secret, truth be told. They've learned the secret of enjoying the journey. You're not going to find the words "if only" in their vocabulary. They have goals, yes. They have plans, yes. But they have learned to enjoy the journey along the way. They enjoy the season of life that they're in, regardless of the season of life that they are in. One thing I love about Wisconsin that we missed in Phoenix is the fact that we have four seasons here. In Phoenix, we had two seasons. We had hot and really hot. Here, some of you might say, well, we only have two seasons in Wisconsin, cold and very cold. But I love the seasons. I personally love that. But the thing that I have found funny, and I've done this myself, so I'm chief sinner here, I'm guilty, is the fact that when it's summer, people will wish for fall. And when it's fall, they'll wish for spring. And when it's spring, they'll wish for summer. Now, I haven't run across a person yet wish it was winter, but I'm sure there's some out there. What would it be like if we could enjoy the spring while it's spring? Enjoy the summer while it's summer, and so on. If only. I'm going to tell you something. You will never find happiness, even if you're walking with Christ, if you are consistently speaking the words, if only. You will always be miserable. Somebody needed to hear that. I'm telling you, if you apply this simple truth, your life will change, because the happiness and the joy that you have been longing for has been right in front of you the entire time. It's through the gift that God has given us called now, today. I don't want to live a life of regret. I don't want to live a life of if onlys. I don't want to live on the anointing of yesterday. And I don't want to focus on the finish line so much that I completely miss the journey. The finish line is great, but you will not find happiness at the finish line. As a matter of fact, most people will say they get a little depressed when they get to the finish line. Happiness is found along the way. I've come to understand and realize that I'm not going to find true happiness tomorrow, and I'm not going to find true happiness yesterday. It's something that is only available to me today. If you have a baby, stop and realize that someday you're going to wish you had those days to relive again. Savor every moment. When you change the diapers, don't gripe because the baby stinks. Rejoice because they're healthy. What if instead our perspective was complaining that roses have thorns? What if we changed our perspective to say, no, thorns have roses? Savor the day. Enjoy the journey that you're on. This moment right now, you'll never get it back. What if we walked out of this building today just thanking God for today? Not wishing for tomorrow, not wishing it was yesterday, but thank you, God, for today. Look at this, Numbers chapter 14 and verse number 1. Then the whole community began weeping aloud, and they cried all night. Their voices rose in a great chorus of protest against Moses and Aaron. If only we had died in Egypt, or even here in the wilderness, they complained. Why is the Lord taking us to this country only to have us die in battle? Our wives and little ones will be carried off as plunder. Wouldn't it be easier for us to return to Egypt? Then they plotted among themselves, let's choose a new leader and go back to Egypt. Reminder, when these guys were in Egypt, they were in slavery. They were in slavery, sun up to sundown making bricks. And here they're saying, if only we could go back. Now listen, God rescuing the Israelites from the hands of the Egyptians in this story, if you read it, if you've never read the story of the Exodus, I encourage you to. It's miraculous. This is one of the greatest miracles in history. These people got to witness with their own eyes the water of the Red Sea being parted and walking through moments later on dry ground. Things we can't understand. It's a miracle. They witnessed water pouring out of a rock. They were firsthand witnesses of miracle after miracle after miracle. But here they are, if only we would have died in Egypt. You see, what they're saying was, we don't really like where we are. We don't like what is happening. Remember the good old days of us building bricks sun up to sundown? Let's find a different leader and take us back to the way it used to be. They were right in the middle of a miracle, and because they had the if-only mindset, they missed the entire thing. We look at that story and say, if only I were there to see those waters part, I would understand that for the miracle it was. They missed it. They missed it because their mindset wasn't where it needed to be. I want you to know that what is starting to happen in this church is not common. I'm not just blowing smoke when I say that God has used this church, in my experience, to accomplish more in 1 year, 2018, than a lot of churches see in 5 years. I'm not just saying that. We're beginning to see God unfold things in this church that people in this church have seen for years. It's starting to happen right now. I remember when we left Greeley, Colorado, they sold that fleet of buses almost overnight. And I remember members calling me, some of them literally in tears, saying, Pastor, it's just not the same anymore. If only you could come back, Pastor. I tried to encourage them, tried to get their perspective right. I would tell them, I want you to understand that season is over. It's time to move on. It's okay to talk about what God did, but don't sit around wishing for the good old days to return. If you do that, you will always be miserable and you'll miss what God is doing. Don't fall for that trap. Instead, ask God what He has for you in this new season that you're now in. Because God's not done with you yet. It might look different, but God's got something else. The words, if only, is a trap. If you go home and take a yellow piece of post-it note and write the words, if only, on it, and then put an X through it. Hang it on your mirror somewhere you can see it every day. You'll remind yourself, I'm not falling for the if only trap today. If only I had a different job, I'd be happy at that job. And then we get to that job and we realize we're just as miserable as we were before. As a matter of fact, sometimes we say, oh man, if only I were back because they treated me so much better. You see, the problem isn't in the job. The problem is here. If only I had a different marriage. And then we go chasing it, and then we realize this one's just the same. Because the problem wasn't in the marriage, the problem was here. Here. If only I could go back to a place in my life I used to be. And then we miss what God is doing now. If only. If only. I want you to stop and realize something. As far as this church is concerned, I believe that we are witnessing history. It's a little small right now, but you get to be a part of it, and that's the exciting part. Because one day people will say, mark my words, man, I wonder what it would have been like to be there on that first Christmas toy giveaway. I wonder what it would have been like to be there to see that first bus pull onto that church property. If only I could have been there to see that first bag of clothes that was donated to the clothing closet. If only I could be there to see that clothing closet or that food pantry begin. If only. We are living in the if only right now. That's what I want you to see. I've had people message me numerous times who visit from out of state and out of town and tell me, Pastor, I really felt the presence of God in that service today. I am so amazed at what God is doing and the people that are getting saved. Keep going. Just randomly out of the blue. It's the most encouraging thing ever. Please, church, I encourage you today, don't get used to it. Don't take it for granted. Never get used to the altar call. Never get used to blessing people. It should give us the tingles just to walk into this place because the presence of God is here. It's a sad thing to wait until tomorrow to realize you missed what God did today. This sums this up perfectly. I remember this testimony of a man that currently attends the Angelus Temple in Los Angeles, where the great Amy McPherson, the great woman evangelist and woman pastor that built one of the greatest churches in the world, preached. It's the church that Courtney's at this morning, our lovely Courtney there. She's at that church. Books had been written about this mighty woman of God and what God did through those people. It was a mighty move of God. It's historic. But here's what this man said that was actually there and witnessed that move of God. He said this. He said, I didn't know what was happening. I'll never forget this. He said, I didn't know what was happening while it was happening. I didn't know that our church was making the impact that it was. I didn't know that our pastor was such a great, revered woman of God. He said, she had to die for me to realize that I was sitting in the middle of Christian history. You see, unfortunately, these words are true for most people. It's time to reset our perspective. Let's not be an if-only people. Let's be a people that recognizes the move of God in the moment, both in your life and in your church. Savor each day and live it to the full. Don't long for tomorrow and don't long for yesterday. Talk about it, sure. Plan for tomorrow, sure. Remember yesterday, but live today. Live today. If we live in if only, we'll never find the joy and the happiness we're longing for. God has given you a gift right in front of you called now, called today. That's where it's at. It's all perspective. Father, I just thank you for this word today. God, I know there have been many times in my life that I have fallen for this trap, and I know, God, that there's many people in here that have too. We're always looking at something else in life that will bring that fulfillment. But God, you've given us the gift of now. We are living in the good old days right now. History is being written right now. God, I don't want to get to the finish line and realize I missed it. So Father, I just pray for each and every one. Some of us need to go home and we need to write those words on that post-it note. We need to put them on that mirror with an X through it to remember. I'm going to savor this day. I'm not going to use the words if only. Father, I just want to thank you for what you're doing in this place. I thank you, God, for the move of the Holy Spirit and what we're starting to see unfold before our very eyes. I give you praise for that in Jesus' name.